God said, I need somebody willing to get up before dawn, milk cows, work all day in the fields, milk cows again, eat supper, then go to town and stay past midnight at a meeting of the school board. So God made a farmer.
My administration will be focused on three very important words. Jobs, jobs, jobs.
This man must be a minister, a social worker, a diplomat, a tough guy, and a gentleman. And of course he'll have to be a genius because he'll have to feed a family on a policeman's salary.
From this day forward, it's going to be only America first. America first. We, the citizens of America, are now joined in a great national effort to rebuild our country and restore its promise for all of our people. Because today, we are not merely transferring power from one administration to another, or from one party to another, but we are transferring power from Washington, D.C., and giving it back to you, the people.
Hold on to your seats. Buckle up for safety. You are now entering another dimension with the Scott Adams Show.
And that's right. My name is Scott Adams. You're listening to The Scott Adams Show. I want to thank everybody for tuning in today. And I'm joined by Leonor Carvota. Hello, Leonor.
Hello, Scott. And I will mention that, as always, we're sitting at least 6 feet apart from each other.
6 feet. Yeah, that's right. That's good. Good. Yeah.
I mean, this is absolutely crazy at this point. I mean, I keep thinking of the words abundance of caution. I mean, what has the governor of our great state done?
Well, we got the national emergency, and that's been going on all over the country, really. Arizona was, but the two strictest states seem to be Arizona and Virginia, the one we're in. And Governor Northam, I got a little annoyed by it.
Yeah.
Because I get this alert, and so it says, you are ordered to stay at home. And I'm like, okay, this is coming out of the mouth of a man that wore blackface or dressed up like the KKK Klans member. He wouldn't tell us who it was
right
in the photo. He goes about attacking our Second Amendment. This is Governor Northam, right?
Right.
So Governor Northam is attacking our Second Amendment. And in addition to that, he supports infanticide.
Right.
Now, this is a wackadoodle upstairs, right? Not the sharpest tool in the shed. And he wants to tell me now, you know, to stay home. And it was the wording that they used. I didn't like the wording, frankly.
And the method using the alert, because at the time it happened, I was in D.C., so I didn't receive it at the moment it happened, and you texted it to me. But what's interesting about it, and you pointed this off air, is that really it doesn't say anything different about what he's previously
Nothing
been
different
saying.
Nothing than what we've been doing.
Other than the June 10th date. But it does say that, you know, people, the order allows, which went into effect on Monday, will remain in place until June 10th, allows people to leave their homes if they must go out for food, supplies, medical care, or to get fresh air or exercise. But where it is a little bit confusing is that you're still allowed to travel to work, places of worship, and child care providers for volunteering, caretaking, and seeking social services. Now, that's a little confusing because they're closing a lot of churches, and people got the perception stay at home means they can't go to work. So, I mean, I think it was the format and the tone.
You are ordered to stay at home.
Right, you are ordered.
Has issued a stay-at-home order, right? Okay, no Virginia. No. So it's a stay-at-home order, no Virginian should leave their home except for essential reasons. Okay, so basically they're putting you in a box. They're making it sound like they're the authority. And okay, that's fine. But, you know, the issue is the guy that's delivering it. Now,
yeah.
Most of the states, Arizona has Ducey, the liberal governor.
Yeah.
And most of these states that are really dropping the hammer on people's heads in control, they're all liberal.
Yeah.
I took a snapshot of an analysis of the state of Virginia in terms of hot pockets of where our pandemic is springing up the most. And It was in all these districts like Fairfax and Arlington and Loudoun and all these different. And I went to Albemarle, right? And all these. And I took the time to see who won that county in 2016.
Mm-hmm.
And Hillary won every doggone one of those counties.
Why does that not surprise me?
You know, and so it tells me that this has been become very politicized, right?
You don't say.
There's a lot of theories going around. There's a lot of people that are, you know, there's so many different tangents to this story that we're going to talk about today. We had so much to talk about yesterday, and then we decided that we were going to air the president.
And I think he deserves
to
be aired.
The president again.
Again, as Forrest Gump would say.
And, well, he needs all the voice he can get, right? I mean, you know, I think that what he says is absolutely the most mm-hmm. important thing. We're going to talk about, you know, this whole extension of 30 days and why the president might be doing it. And we're going to talk about, we're going to dispel a couple of rumors. So there's a lot of rumor going on that that these hospital ships are prisons. I want to just say that we have people in the State Department that we know. And we have seen other reports from citizen journalists that we trust that have gone out there and literally talked to people with FEMA and ranking officials and military people just off the street. I remember Jason Goodman mm-hmm. pulling two military guys off the street, looked at the badge on their arm. They were medical nurses. And they said they had seen no sign whatsoever of prison.
Yeah.
And then I think Hannity did an expose on that
yeah.
as well.
Yeah.
He did something with the ship. So, you know, for those talking about power and the phones and everything going out for 3 days and these ships are going to be packed with a whole bunch of prisoners. Maybe mm-hmm. it's going to be Tom Hanks. Maybe it's going to be James Comey. Who's been acting very strangely, by the way. James Comey, all you got to do is go to twitter.com/Comey.
Not only has he been acting strange, he looks really strange.
Right, right.
He's like grown a beard. It's giving him a bizarre look.
Right, but you know, the thing is that he's doing a lot of this coded messaging.
Yeah.
And Eric Holder then responded to the coded messaging, meaning that he put out a message, then Eric Holder put out a message. And remember, Eric Holder, the attorney general, worked hand in glove with Mueller and Comey. And that's what happens. Is the FBI director and the attorney general of the Department of Justice oversees the FBI.
Yeah.
They tell the FBI what to do.
Yeah.
Just like the State Department tells the CIA what to do. Just like the military tells the NSA what to do. We have three major spy, you know, apparatuses, intelligence apparatuses, part of the intelligence community. And that is the NSA, underneath the military, the CIA underneath the State Department, and the FBI, yeah. an investigative arm that works directly underneath the DOJ. CIA is supposed to be abroad. FBI is supposed to be local, yet, you know, FBI was going over to Benghazi to do the inspection there and whatever else.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they cross over a bit. And that's why they need FISA warrants to reach outside of the boundaries of our country.
Mm-hmm.
And so then there was the FISA abuse and then the cross wiretapping. And we know about that stuff. We can talk about all that till the day is long, or as long as the day is long, I guess, whatever that saying is. But here's the thing. The thing is that there are a lot of theories that are being dispelled. There's a lot of people that are getting cabin fever. There's a lot of people that are attacking people. And when Trump says that this pandemic or this epidemic, you know, the cure can't be worse than the problem, he means it. And so when you listen to Fauci and his negative spin, you know, it's very concerning. And so I want to be very careful about that, you know, because we could be doing a lot more harm. And Leonora is writing a piece, an article, a feature article that she's putting together related to drug dependency and, you know, cabin fever and a lot of things.
The liquor stores.
Yeah, but I just had an article where it says this. It says, Elderly woman dies after being punched by 32-year-old Brooklyn woman because she was standing. The Brooklyn woman that did the punching said, "You're standing too close to me. Get 6 feet away." This is an elderly woman. She can't probably see the 6 feet, right? She may have been 4.5 feet. The 86-year-old woman died after a Brooklyn woman punched her for not engaging in social distancing.
And she was 86 years old.
This is the kind of...
It's ridiculous.
And we're hearing reports of aggressive driving. We're hearing road rage incidents. We're hearing a lot about domestic abuse and some other things that you're going to talk about,
right,
Leonore. But I want to read this. I said, in addition to rising depression, suicides, domestic abuse, and economic stress, liberals who perpetuate fear, exaggerate negatives, downplay positives, and advance doomsday scenarios, you also have division and unwarranted aggressive violent behavior, meaning that all of this hype and all of the is bringing up divisiveness, right? And so we're having this divisiveness in our country where we're afraid to talk to each other. I'm with a guy in the elevator or something, and I almost feel like before if I talk, I might be doing something wrong.
Well, and also you're concerned about being in the elevator at all with somebody else, and that's become the other fear. And you know, to
but
the point you're making,
walking on eggshells because you don't know the interactive protocol to how you work with how you deal with people now.
You don't know how you're supposed to social distance now. Sometimes you're in situations where it's dictated for you. It's like when you go to a supermarket and they're now rationing how many people can go in. Or I was in a bank the other day, and it wasn't me who they spoke to because I was the first in line, but they told the next person, you got to stand back because, I mean, they said a little more politely than stand back. They said, you have to stay in place for the moment because of social distancing. But the thing is you know, the other point that I think we have to think about is, in addition to being frustrated by all the reports of the disease and the people being furloughed or people being, you know, restricted in their mobility in general, that pent up feeling, that cabin fever, is going to result in a little bit of natural aggression anyway. I mean, think about, you know, how people feel when they've been cooped up. So you couple that with the some of the political antagonism that's going on,
and
you've got a lethal combination there.
Don't you find it interesting in the emergency alert and the essential things that should stay open?
Yeah, I find it weird that
like liquor stores,
and that's my piece that I've been working on. I'm not saying we should close down the liquor stores. Obviously, I'm not advocating for prohibition.
We were talking a lot about this, right? And we talked about the scenarios. I was wondering if you could just
weigh
in on that.
Yeah, well, one of the things I'm talking about is there are about 14.4 million adult alcoholics. And again, when I say those are adult alcoholics, those are people who have received treatment or perhaps have attended a support group. They are in some way documented in the statistics as being alcoholics. There are 30 million people in this country who abuse alcohol. That's 14%, 30 million adults. That's 14% of the adult population, at least. So when you look at that,
that's declared heavy drinkers.
Heavy,
right?
Drinkers, which encompasses the other 14.4 million. But the point is, the heavy drinkers they're probably not likely to be part of that small subset of the population that if they are denied alcohol, they could physically go into withdrawal. And what it was an interesting piece of data was that alcohol is the only substance where if you stop using it and your withdrawal process is not complete, you could die. This apparently doesn't happen with heroin or cocaine. But
you researched that.
Yes, I researched that.
Yeah.
And so, what's interesting to me about this is the amount of people that are actually going to have the delirium tremens and potentially risk dying is probably not as high as is being hyped up. The greater likelihood is that there are so many more people that are heavy drinkers that are at home that are also, we have situations where there are people in households that are at risk of domestic violence, and you add to it the heavy drinkers are drinking more, the social drinkers are drinking more,
right.
And you know, and everybody's in the same place.
Yeah.
A risk of a collision is happening.
As you can see, there's so many different tangents to this, but the politicization of it is also driving the craziness of it.
Yes.
Because it's making people like me try to prove cases and prove things. It's making people at home want to drink. It's making people it's opening up domestic abuse where there wouldn't have been. There's a lot of different things that are going on. The cure cannot be worse than the problem itself. That's number one. So why is President Trump doing all this? Why is he signing off $2.2 trillion plus the four? Well, keep in mind, too, that the $2.2 trillion is for the grants and things like that, the bailouts and more. But the other $4 trillion is coming into play because of it's a potential high, actually.
Yeah.
The $6.2 trillion total is a situation where that is not money that's going out of the taxpayer's pocket into a corporation like Boeing and not being paid back. Mm-hmm. That money, actually, President Trump made it very clear, is going to be paid back. But then you look at the journalists. So Rachel Maddow is making a fool out of herself. Just last week, you know, she, like a clown, and there's this video going around that makes her look like a clown. Very funny video. And they were talking about these ships are never going to make it there in a week. Well, then here comes rolling in the ship, the Comfort, right, mm-hmm. into New York. Everybody's lined up taking pictures of this ship. This ship is supposed to take the overflow medical. I actually think it'll probably be a wiser choice to dedicate, you know, Jacob Javits and the ship to be COVID only.
Yeah.
And I think that would be a better way to go.
Because then you're containing it better.
Well, you would contain it, and not to mention the fact that you would also probably showcase that there are fewer cases than what's being reported in the rolls. Because there's a lot of people that are taking their video cameras and going around New York. Like, they had an hour-long live feed going on Elmhurst Hospital. The one where all the reports came out of the New York Times. And again, we can't trust these outlets. We can't trust the New York Times or the Washington Post or CNN or Rachel Maddow on MSNBC or Jim Acosta on CNN or Jake Tapper. Wolf Blitzer actually cut off the president's conference because Mike Lydell from MyPillow came on.
Yeah.
And started talking about praising the president, right? So they cut it off, the whole press conference. Then Jim Acosta asks these dodo brain questions. We have the tape. We might just play them today. But we want to get through a couple of other key points that we want to discuss first before we, you know, get back into the video thing. But it's really quite amazing, the media bias, the level of bias. Rachel Maddow is coming out and saying that if you talk about hydroxychloroquine with the Z-Pak, and there's another drug. The drug is called leronlimab, which is spelled L-E-R-O-N-L-I-M-A-B, leronlimab. And it's a HIV breast cancer drug, and it's designed to cure or correct the scenario called cytokine storm. And I encourage people to look that up. Cytokine is with a C. Cytokine, C-Y-T-O-K-I-N, storm. Cytokine storm. And it's the cure drug for that is leronlimab. Now, what's happening there is you have this drug that's supposed to reduce the white blood cells that mm-hmm. bombard your lungs because of your own immune system. And it gets you off the need of a ventilator.
Yeah.
So you have all these different media outlets attacking Trump that he's not making enough ventilators. Yet you have Andrew Cuomo, Governor Cuomo, on tape sitting and standing in an empty Javits Center because it hasn't really ramped up yet, I guess. But all the facilities were built, and he stands there and he says, yeah, he was addressing the ventilators that were stuck in a storage facility in Edison, New Jersey.
Yeah.
And he said, yeah, well, we don't really need them now. Hospitals have ventilators that are unused. We don't need them now. So it was about a week prior to that he said, we need 30,000 ventilators yesterday.
Yeah.
So now he's got 2,000, 3,000 in a storage bin. He's not using them. So which one is it, right? Which one is it? It's, we have to know. And so now what President Trump has done that's so brilliant is he's embraced this new quick test by Abbott Labs. And the quick test by Abbott Labs will help save, will not only help, will not only advance the amount of testing so that we can get to a cross-population testing, like a basically random population testing, where, you know, they might stick something out in a big bus in front of a, you know, all these apartment buildings or something like that, and get people to line up, take a well, what will be hopefully a 15-minute test, because you don't want the 5-minute test. You know why that is, right, Leonora?
Yeah.
The 5-minute test says you're positive.
Right.
You get a positive result within 5 minutes. You get the negative result as long as 15 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And but it's still very quick, and it's in and out. But what it does mostly is it decentralizes. It decentralizes the tests so that you and the doctor can have the conversation. You don't need to talk with the cabal, the liberals, the agenda people pushers at the CDC, at NIH that's run by Fauci, or WHO, which has a lot of corruption. And we're going to get to that later in the show as well. So there's so many other things that this does. And not only that, but Dr. Oz brought up a really good point. And he said, you know, one of the great things about this, one of the great things about this new quick test is, when someone walks in and they say they have symptoms that are similar to COVID-19, right?
Right.
That means that everybody surrounding that person needs to wear masks, gloves, everything, right? Maybe the ventilator comes out.
And isn't it for like a 5-day period?
Yeah, for a 5-day period. So look how many masks they're using. Look how many gloves. Look how many precautions for a pandemic-like disease.
And look
right?
how many people they've tied up for this one person.
In this one person. The more people are treating this one person because they're trying to find a solution. Next thing you know, 5 days comes, it's negative.
Right.
Because that's how long it takes for the test. Well, with an instant, the person doesn't need to... Once they find out that this person doesn't have a high transfer disease... And by the way, I just said high transfer disease.
Yeah.
Well, it was only March 10th that Big Bird de Blasio said, this is not a high transfer disease. Go about your business. It's not human-to-human transfer. You can only catch it like if you were kissing somebody.
Well, and again,
He was wrong.
They were wrong, and I think...
But we on the right are not calling him a liar.
Well, no, I don't think we're calling him a liar, because you know what? I think everybody was in many ways wrong, because they were speaking based on the information they were hearing, and there was a lot of information that was coming out that was not accurate, or to use a Democratic expression, evolving.
Well, then how do you explain Nancy Pelosi and her attacks on President Trump, say he came to the party late?
Well, because it's a liberal agenda.
Yeah, and she on January 31st called him a racist for the travel ban. And she also, a couple of weeks, like 2 months ago, had big groups go to Chinatown and try to like sell the argument that, you know.
Well,
As you pointed out,
2 months ago, January 31st was exactly 2 months ago. And so one cannot accuse President Trump of not getting ahead of this issue. He got on top of it as quickly as humanly possible.
Yeah, no, there's a timeline, and I posted it from the Trump team, where they put out an exhaustive timeline. But I want to tell you that, okay, so this new quick drug is going to save on masks and things like that, because the doctor is going to find out immediately whether or not they need to treat this person special or not.
Right.
And so that's a really good thing. But there's a lot of other things, because one of the other things was ventilators. President Trump is going to start delivering the ventilators to the hospitals as needed.
Yeah.
And what that does is that also takes away the kickbacks and the bribery. So, for example, if they're sitting in that storage facility and Governor Cuomo, who, by the way, is not running for president. he declared that with his brother Chris on an interview. He says he's not running for president. But I think he would be too late to the game anyway. So in any case, he said he didn't, you know, he had overstock. So that means that there are people that can actually control the flow of the ventilators to whoever they want. oh, how badly do you want the ventilator that was just given to me by the federal government and the U.S. taxpayer? Mm-hmm. How bad do you need it? Yeah. Oh, we need it really bad. We're the hospital. And the guy says, okay, well, hey, how about those tickets to the Yankees? Or how about, you know, maybe give me $1,000 per. I'll get them to you delivered short order. I'll give them to you in 6 hours. You'll get them. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so there's a lot of kickback, fraud, waste, and abuse, right?
Right.
So you have that. But you also have the federal government trying to, you have the news media working hand in glove with the CDC, who, you know, nothing for nothing, but it's Rod Rosenstein's sister that is like one of the chief people that has the biggest voice there.
Yeah.
She's the one that, her name's Nancy Messonnier or something like that.
Yeah.
And in any case, Rod Rosenstein's sister basically collects the data and then has meetings with Hillary Clinton's best friend. And so I wrote this piece. I said this. I said, please forgive my skepticism, but the same people who are hyping this COVID also said Kavanaugh was a rapist. They also said Russia hacked, and they didn't. They also said Trump bribed Ukraine, while at the same time saying Biden didn't, are not asking us to believe are now asking us to believe secret corona tests that go to the CDC where Rosenstein's sister shares data with Hillary's friend, Anthony Fauci. And I wrote this graphic, and I made this graphic up myself. And I said, the secret testing of COVID-19, where, you know, basically the guy takes the blood or mm-hmm. sends it off to the nose swab, sends it off to the lab. The lab does the statistics. And I said, the attack is real. No one's saying that there isn't a COVID-19. We are saying that there is one. We're just saying that the origins of it and the where it came from and how it got here were premeditated, malicious. I think it was a bio attack of some sort. And we're going to get to another theory by someone I respect a lot, another radio show host. Her name's Kate Daly. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to mention something about this. Right after this is another theory. It's about vaccines, Bill Gates, and some other stuff, and we're going to talk about that. So the attack is real. It's as political as it is biological. Now, this is a quick meme I wrote up. It said, Adam Schiff rigged the secret court. Mueller falsely indicted 12 Russian officials with phony CrowdStrike data that violated basic chain of custody rules while violating every search warrant guideline in the book. The media sold these lies the whole way as if they were Greta Thunberg giving a climate change speech at the United Nations. Media hype coronavirus numbers that caused fear, write headlines that falsely claim cause of death, and CDC spokespeople like Rod Rosenstein's sister, Nancy Messonnier, negatively spin secret test data. CDC shares the data with scientists like Anthony Fauci and Deborah Birx, who share close ties with radical leftists like Hillary Clinton, Bill Gates, and leftist organizations like WHO, the WHO, the World Health Organization. And you know, it's just one of these things where, and so I was just reading a response to that. Actually, there's a response to that. It's right on my Facebook page or Twitter page. But one of the things you have to also pay attention to is this. Yesterday, they declared we just reached our 3,000th death in America.
Exactly.
But let me read to you another report from 2012, okay, that makes me want to call that into question, okay? Because I wrote this. I said, this report, inaccurate cause of death recorded for 1 in 4 patients was written in February 2012 by The Guardian. If this is such an easy mistake, it can be also a tactic easily abused to exploit a pandemic, like a doctored FBI 302 or falsified FISA warrant. I only bring that up because In 2012, they were writing about this as a problem, that the doctor was claim of death or, you know, attribution to the cause of death, right, was basically one out of four times it was wrong. It wasn't not accurate. It was wrong. So I said, if just like when an FBI guy writes a 302 up and doctors it, like Peter Strzok did.
Yeah.
Or Bill Priestap did.
Right.
Where they edited the 302s and Lisa Page did.
Yeah.
They edited these 302s. What is a 302? 302 is that your notes from a meeting. So if an FBI person goes into the White House and talks to Mike Flynn and then makes up a bunch of BS and edits it down the road to further fit a legal narrative by, you know, Andy McCabe and Lisa Page, which all happened, by the way, that would be basically saying, okay, well, that's where the missing link is. That's where it becomes not, that's where it becomes human and analog rather than digital and pure and free from human manipulation and bias, right? And the same thing is true if you were to go and get a FISA warrant and you were to doctor the warrant and use fake dossiers to get your warrant, right? At some point, the FISA warrant becomes like tarnished.
Right.
It's everything you get after that is fruit from the forbidden tree or whatever they call that, right? So the idea is that in this case, the data is being controlled by people like Rod Rosenstein's sister and shared with scientists who are friends with Hillary Clinton. Mm-hmm. And you see how this could quickly go, because it's all secret. Like if you go to a hospital and try to ask any questions, you get no answers. These citizen journalists that are exposing something that is far different than what the New York Times was writing about, that the hospitals are a war zone, that there's a war zone going on. They don't have enough beds. They have dead bodies laying in a refrigerated truck. All these things don't add up when you get these citizen journalists going out there with their little smartphone camera and saying, what are they talking about? It's not here.
Yeah.
It seems like what we're seeing on the ground and what we're hearing from the liberal press is very similar to the idea that Schiff had a secret compartment underneath the basement of the house. And you were not to know anything about what Schiff was doing.
Yeah.
And the same thing was true with Bob Mueller. What's he investigating? Well, we don't know what he's investigating.
Yeah.
All we know is that when it came time for him to shine, he didn't even know who Fusion GPS was. Yeah. The guy was out to lunch. And it's like the light was on, but, you know, nothing was working.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the idea is that Bob Mueller didn't even know what his own case was representing. He didn't know anything. And you're like, $35-40 million in 2.5 years in a stolen 2018 midterm election for what? Are you kidding me? Oh, and now you want me to believe you again? And this is what I'm saying is, if it wasn't for the predecessors, we wouldn't be such skeptics. But we are, and we should be skeptical. So when Kate Daly writes this, and what she wrote is this. She says, it's a pretty interesting little thing she wrote, and I'm going to read it. Let's see. Well, I did have it. Leonora, you want to stall for time a little bit? So,
You want me to read it?
Oh, did you? Do you have it?
I got it right here.
Okay, good.
Social distancing? Is that it?
Yeah, Kate Daly.
Okay, social distancing, why they are doing this. Do you know why we are social distancing? Because it's never been done to healthy nations, and now you get to find out. Because Bill Gates, firm in Seattle, by coincidence is a ground zero for COVID in USA, put together computational models built on research from Good Data Project, owned by Facebook. Good data meaning spying, but it's for good. The models only predicted that it might work based on our studying the behaviors of people. So they hacked I'm sorry, they tracked certain people's phones in Seattle to see where they went location-wise, looking at whether they spent in a city or in a suburb, or whether they spent time in a city or a suburb, and studied Facebook behavior, your behavior. Everything they are telling us has to do with predictive programming research. Nothing is based in fact. Don't you find it interesting that now you are on social, you are social distancing, they are reporting more cases because it's been over 2 weeks, 14 days. And then they are producing articles the last few days that are saying it's good and slowing down the progress, but it's not enough in caps. They want more and for longer. They are still basing everything on future computer-controlled guesses, nothing concrete. They have no proof whatsoever. Feel like a lab rat? I do. They say in the study they are on the cusp of getting good solid info and use a multi-step approach to generate data points about you and I, and hope to have greater confidence in their big experimentation. Why? Because they aren't confident. And they admit their limitations in the study, and these are huge. Mobility is only a proxy for transmission. See, not actual transmission from one to another. Age isn't factored. Why? We have not adjusted this for ill patients in a hospital to healthy general public. So they treat everyone the same when computing the model for effective prediction of social distancing. The fitting procedure does not incorporate mortality data because on how we measure mobility, it could take in several paths. This is where they can admit failure down the road. So they don't even bother to test this out to see if it worked before it became the national response. And our politicians are acting like, yes, we know this works. Do this. You do this. Some states said groups of 250 and some said 10 for limitations. No proof for either. No proof that it does anything. They didn't test social distancing between sick people versus ill people in a hospital. They admit that they didn't test for actual social contact, just your mobility on your phone, meaning they are guessing about how many people you come in contact with. They said it's likely that if you are away from the city, you see less people. And that became their base for modeling to convince every state in our nation and federally to do social distance. By the way, none of their models for prediction have been right. We are still in the lab rat stage, but they tell us it's working because people think it sounds plausible for healthy people, because this is what we do when we are sick. Well, that's certainly a mouthful, but I think she has a bunch of interesting insights.
That's based on, and I want to get to Donald Trump's strategy going forward in just a moment. But and I see a caller calling in, and I can take it for a very quick second in just a moment. But I said this to Kate, and this wasn't really, she was talking about how they came up with the 6 feet and all this BS. But I think it's basically trying to track every move we make, everything we do. But I said, I've seen signs of this. I saw a report on YouTube channel where it was reported that concerned and perhaps scared people were offered free testing in their area and given an experimental vaccine. Yes, like they're human test subjects. And so basically, this could be like, I could just see somebody like Bill Gates sitting at home with his fingers together, scheming up another thing. You know, this is a guy that actually resigned from Berkshire Hathaway and Microsoft on the same day.
Right.
So I think he's in danger. I think he's up to something. I think he's a very evil person, Bill Gates. I believe this in my heart. But I think he's done a lot of things, his connections with a lot of globalists, a lot of people, and a lot of payoffs and a lot of money manipulation. You could think about Jeffrey Epstein and his work at MIT and Harvard. And you could think about the Lieber guy that got arrested at Harvard and Epstein once again. And so my point is that they want to infect us as a population and control us as a population. And they've done a fine job of it. That emergency alert we received yesterday was part and parcel of it. The globalists love what's happening. This is how you can control an entire world.
Well, they're focused on socialism.
I have live YouTube channels that I go to, and Thailand and Amsterdam and elsewhere, all these different live feeds, and the streets are empty, and it's like, wow, they've gotten the whole world to sit inside. We will take this call. It's got to be quick, though. Caller, you're on the air.
Hi, Scott. Yeah, Scott and Leonora, this is John from Illinois. How are you?
Hey.
Hi. Good, good. Hey, so have you guys talked about Sweden yet and their experience in COVID-19?
Who?
No, Sweden.
Yeah, okay. Go ahead.
Sweden is not engaging in a forced lockdown. It is voluntary, if you wish. And look at their experience, because they've had, I just looked it up on the way here, I just quickly looked it up, 160 deaths. Now, they have about 10.3 million, I guess, officially. So if you multiply that out by about 32, you know, equivalent to our population, 32 to 160, I get about 5,700. It could be a little more, a little less. So just do the numbers on that. So that would be maybe twice our number. However, put that in the context of all these astronomical Looney Tunes numbers we're getting from both the president, who's just taking everything on faith from these people. I would not take all these public health people on faith. And it could have been, you know, 2 to 3 million this. Or I don't know what they're talking about. And Fauci saying that in the end, even with all these measures, he had mentioned, did he say 100 or 200,000 deaths? Is that correct?
Yeah, just yesterday, he said a number that was ridiculous, and it was an apex kind of scenario, and he said it could be as high as that. But I'm going to address that, and I don't know if you want to hang on or
sure.
But that's exactly where I'm going next with this, which is the why Trump is actually seemingly complicit, not really, but I mean, you know, basically accepting the words of these people that we know are, you know, basically erring on a side of way over the line precaution. I don't know if you want to hang. Do you want to stay on the line here, or do you want to? How do you want to do that?
I'll let you go. It sounds like it'll be a while. So.
But John, thank you. Thank you for calling in.
Thanks, John.
I appreciate it. Okay.
Sure, thank you.
And listening to my response to you. All right. So basically, here's the thing. You know, President Trump, I don't believe, wanted to sign the big CARES Act stimulus package.
No.
I am happy to report this. This is something that a lot of you may not know. Paul Preston and I were doing a lot of research yesterday, and we were on the phone, and we were digging into the CARES Act because we hadn't fully read it. It's 850 pages, right?
Yeah.
But I've been hearing about this page 650 as, you know, the voter ballot harvesting,
yep,
and voter,
yep,
fraud and voter early voter, early voting, mail-in voting and all this, that, and the other. And I'm here to tell you that I have good news. We didn't see any sign of anything related to voter registration, voter election early voting or ballot harvesting. There was nothing in it. And so when we listened to President Trump yesterday on the Scott Adams show, what we heard when it was just before the trucker part, where they said, I don't know a truck driver that would have people in his cab, but, you know, okay, whatever. You know, I love that answer he gave because, you know, it's so real, right? But he also said, that, you know, it took about a week to revise and revamp what Nancy Pelosi had put together, because he said this, and I'll quote, paraphrase,
mm-hmm,
should be a better word.
Yes.
He said that, I don't think we could ever elect a Republican again with some of the stuff that was in there. So we fixed that. So he got all that out, and Paul Preston and I both were researching that together. And we came to the conclusion we didn't see it. Now, if somebody else can correct me, because we don't know what we didn't see. All we know is we scoured the thing through a search tool and could not find any evidence that CARES Act has anything related to a voting legislation for the 2020 election that could hurt a Republican, whether it be ballot harvesting, you know, or lend itself to election fraud. So that's good news. So I don't think President Trump has any interest in signing off these big ticket items. And there was a lot of pork that was removed, but there's still too much pork in that damn doggone thing. But in addition to that, President Trump has to listen to Fauci because Fauci's the head. He can't fire Fauci. It would be like akin to him firing Comey, right? And the media has already chosen a side. It's doomsday. It's gloom, doom and gloom. And the problem is, if you listen to even Fox News, and I was listening to Fox and Friends, and they've endorsed the notion. The only person that's really fighting for us is Dr. Oz. Dr. Oz is coming out with his hydroxychloroquine studies and things like that. Very good stuff. Incidentally, you know how they came about finding out about hydroxychloroquine?
How?
Because they found out that people with lupus and arthritis weren't getting infected by COVID-19.
Yeah.
The people that were taking that drug. So there were those computer models. They were basically able to find out that the people that were actually arthritic or had lupus weren't prone to COVID-19. They're like, why?
Yeah.
You're sick. Yeah. Why? And it's like, well, what are you taking?
Yeah.
And it was like to the T. If you were on hydroxychloroquine, you weren't getting this virus. You might, I don't know. Don't be eating any fish aquarium solution.
Well, that's for people that are uninformed that confuse chemicals.
That was not hydroxychloroquine. That was chloroquine phosphate. But in any case, so Trump has basically lost his middle right media base. Okay, so once he loses the middle right, he realizes that he is overmatched. And so he's playing, you know, like a great card player plays a hand as best it can be played, right? So if you get, you know, lousy hand and the other guy's got, you know, three aces, you just fold. You know when to hold them, when to fold them. To quote the late, great Kenny Rogers who died last week.
Right, I know.
In any case, that's the part. Okay, so then there's the part where he knows how to hold them and fold them, but what he's doing also is he's saying, how do I lose?
Yeah.
There's a very, very low risk for me if I can continue on. The stock market seems to be wanting and begging to come back, but it's getting hit and hit. But it did sort of come back. It's over 22,000 right now, but you know it's coming back. And the sooner, the harder we drop the hammer on this thing, and this is to this is to Steve Bannon's point. Drop the hammer on it, you know, basically just smash it and then get on with our lives.
Yeah.
So he's saying, okay, I'm going to have to go with that scenario because I have to give the Democrats everything they want. Otherwise, it's going to hurt me in a political year. And I can't lose because there's a benefit to the smashing it and then getting back to our lives. There's a key benefit to that, to shorten this trajectory is good for America.
Yeah.
So he's saying that. But he's not saying what Fauci's saying, which is this is going to be on infinitum or this is going to be going on for a year. Because he believes, and that's why he got the FDA to approve these drugs, that chloroquine is going to be the key solution and the answer to the problem. And the other drug that we were talking about that really that cured the cytokine storm, the leronlimab drug that makes it so you can get off a ventilator.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to reduce the need for ventilators. The quick tests are going to decentralize. So no longer are we going to have skewed data from the CDC because the doctor and the patient are going to be within 10 minutes, you know, getting their results for this quick test. So it's going to decentralize. He's going to send the ventilator straight to the hospital and forget about Andrew Cuomo and the corrupt government, New York State government. So he's going to bypass those people. So he got them basically, he gave them the rope. They put it around their neck. They thought that they were smart.
Yeah.
They perpetuated this big, huge narrative that's 10 times greater than it should have been. And what he's going to end up doing is using that to squash this thing, like Steve Bannon said, like a hammer, and we can get on with our lives quicker. And I still believe the trajectory to success may not be by Easter. And I think that the reason why there was a little bit of a week delay, I thought that was an aggressive...
it was a two-week delay, because he originally said Easter, and now it's the April 30th.
And I thought that that was a little aggressive, and I said a lot of things would have to go right. And I think he was hoping that this hydroxychloroquine drug testing would go quicker.
He also threw out an aspirational goalpost to motivate people.
That's true. But, you know, one of the problems to this whole thing is that there's been so much pushback to the hydroxychloroquine. You know, Laura Ingraham had to delete a tweet mm-hmm. related to the success of hydroxychloroquine. So social media is censoring anything. If you say positive things about hydroxychloroquine, we got this doctor with 699 patients and 100% cure rate. But nobody wants to talk about it. Why? Because this would be the game changer. So yeah. What we have right now that are key for Trump's success is these quick tests that decentralize and take the power away from CDC and NIH and WHO. To empower the doctor, decentralize, meaning not everybody's corrupt.
Right.
Only the liberal people seem to be corrupt right now. And so you're going to see all these anomalies that are going to disprove and disprove. You're going to have these citizen journalists disproving what the media is trying to sell you that's happening at an emergency room. So you got all these cameras going around. Film your hospital.
Well, and that's not a good thing that people are feeling like they're not being told the truth.
And then you're going to have this abundant amount of ventilators by Ford and other companies. But you know what?
Well, that's not a bad thing to have extra ventilators.
GM is run by this radically liberal, I'm with her woman.
Yeah. And Mary Barra.
Yes. Very radically liberally, liberal hack, really. In any case, no love for GM. You know, if you want to buy a car, buy a Ford over a GM, that's for sure. buy a Ford over a Chevy. But, you know, and then Trump is basically allowing these morons like Jim Acosta to politicize the press conferences because it makes for sensational TV, must-watch TV. The ratings are sky high. And he wouldn't even be talking about politics if it wasn't for these morons that keep actually taking the bait like dumb fish.
Yeah.
And, you know, so he's winning on all fronts. He's getting the great media attention. He's leading with authority. And he's winning like a champ. So there's a lot of reason to be hopeful about our short-term future with all the new advancements that are being made.
And that's the point. We should be helpful.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I had a couple of other things we're going to share, but we ran out of time today.
Oh, well, there's always time.
Share them tomorrow. All right. And with that, you're listening to The Scott Adams Show. My name's Scott Adams.
My name's Leonora Cabota.
We'll see you next time on the radio. Bye-bye now.
I'm from a small town in Tennessee, a long way from the suits in D.C., but close enough now to see this mess.